Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul Neeson, your health watchman. My website is TorahLifeMinistries.org. I'm so pleased to be here today to give this message to you. Please enjoy the message, and my contact information is at the end of the show. If you desire to contact me about anything we discussed today, and you could also go to my website, TorahLifeMinistries.org, and you could question anything under the videos there. Now, the name of my website, Torah Life Ministries, you might ask, is what is this doing on a Christian radio station? And my answer to you is, the Torah is a Christian thing. The Torah is a Bible thing, and the Torah is a believer thing. Many people that do not have the correct understanding of Scripture believe that the Torah is something for Jewish people alone, and that's the farthest thing from the truth. The Torah is the first five books of the Bible, starting in Genesis. And it's known as the instructions of our Creator. And the problem is, the church today teaches that the Old Testament is done away with, and we only need to follow the New Testament. And I won't say every church teaches that. For the most part, that's the common thinking of the church today, that the church has replaced the Torah, or the instructions and the guidelines of our Creator, and there's a new way to do things, and the old way is done away with. And I'm going to just explain to you about a conversation I had with a friend of mine who's been a Christian for over 40 years, and give you some information about this topic. And some of you might ask, well, why is this topic so important, and why am I so passionate about this topic? And the answer is accepting Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, is the only way to salvation according to the Bible. But to truly know we've accepted Him, and to truly appreciate Him dying for us and taking us our place on death row, which we never deserved, we have to show in our actions, in our heart, the fruit of that. We can't just think that we are going to say some lip service, accept Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, into our life and nothing is going to change. No, folks, your heart has to change. Your walk has to change. Your life has to change. And that's what we measure it up against. And there are many people that are deceived to believe that nothing else needs to change, just saying a couple of words. And as a fellow believer in Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, I care so much for you that I want you to know the truth so you can be set free, as it says in the scriptures. And all I ask is that you have an open ear to hear this. And if there's something I say that doesn't make sense to you or you disagree with, please confirm it in your scriptures. Always confirm everything in your scriptures. Test everything. So consider what I'm saying here today and this conversation I had with a friend of mine who's been a Christian for many, many years. I recently contacted him to explain to him some struggles I was dealing with. And I have a wonderful relationship with my Creator that I continue to work on and improve on a daily basis. And he says to me, or asks me, if I go to church. And I told him, I can't go to church. I have an issue. And he says, what's the issue? I said, I can't find any churches near I live that teach the Bible. I mean, for this reason, I started a home Bible study group, and we get a good enough people here, and we have, it fulfills my spiritual needs from this area completely. I have wonderful fellowship, wonderful brothers and sisters in Messiah who I can talk to. But his question was basically, do you go to church? And my answer was no. I do not go to church because there's no churches near me that are teaching the Bible. So then he says to me, he finds that hard to believe. And he asks me if I live in a very small town, because that's the only conceivable way to him that there could be a church that's not teaching from the Bible. I said, no, not only do I not live in a small town, in fact, I live in a very big city. And still I tell him, none of the churches are teaching from the Bible. And he said, give me an example. I said, well, they teach, all the churches around here are teaching, it's okay to live in sin, we shouldn't listen to a wonderful Creator. They encourage us to celebrate pagan days. You know, and they say, all you have to say is a couple of words of lip service, and there's nothing else. That's the end of the road. That's not even the beginning. Everything will be easy after that. And he said he never heard of such a thing. That's crazy. He doesn't know of a church teaching those things. Many of you listening right now might agree. That's crazy that there are actually churches teaching us to live in sin, that we shouldn't listen to our wonderful Creator, and encouraging us to celebrate pagan days, and all we got to do is say a couple of words and everything's going to be great. So just like he said he finds that hard to believe, I know many of you listening might find the same thing hard to believe. You know, but he asked me to clarify what I mean. Well, I went down point one by one. I said, first of all, it's okay to sin. You know, the churches out here are teaching we have a Savior who died for our sins, and the law was nailed to the cross. And then number two, he says we shouldn't listen to our wonderful Creator. Basically, the church today saying, don't follow the guidelines and instructions of a Creator known as the Torah, which many people mistakenly call the law. They say it is not for us. That's the Old Testament. We no longer have to do those things. Except, of course, for tithing, which is from the Old Testament. Every church preaches that. But that's what they say. We don't have to follow that. That's the Old Testament. And about celebrating the pagan days, well, I clarified a little bit more. They tell us it's okay to observe Christmas and Easter and all these other pagan days. And the Bible tells us not to. So they're not teaching the correct word. You know, and then saying some words to think you're saved but not having the fruit to back it up. You know, the church says all you got to do is say this so-called sinner's prayer and everything's going to change and you're going to be great and you're going to be fine. Well, my friend said, well, if you put things that way, I agree with the church, and I'm sounding like a legalist. So here he is, a Christian of over 40 years, calling me a legalist because I'm telling him things that are from the Bible. And this happens a lot. Many of you listening right now might be thinking the same thing. Well, you agree with my friend who's been a Christian for so long. I'm sounding like a legalist right now. Well, then my friend went to go on and proceed to say that Christians are not under the law, but under grace. That's what he said, and that's what many Christians believe. And what I explain and what I tell people is you cannot have grace unless you desire to keep the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. That's it. There is no sacrifice for willful sin according to the scriptures. In Ezekiel 33:11, it says, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to change from their wicked ways so they can live, so they can have life. Listen, folks, if we all had the grace, it wouldn't matter if we lived the wicked way or not. But we don't. We need to understand the difference between righteousness and unrighteousness. We have a Creator who took our place, but we deserved that death. We were on death row, and He took that penalty away from us. He died in our place. It says in Proverbs 17:15, He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, even both of them are hateful to Yahweh, our wonderful Creator. Meaning, there is no way, even if our Creator wanted to, He cannot set us free from our sin, from our death sentence, and not have anyone pay that debt for us. Somebody had to die, and Yeshua did die. We were sinners on death row, and our righteous judge could not let us walk, even if He wanted to. Somebody had to die, and Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, took our place. Hallelujah! Not so we would come out and keep living the way we did before we went on death row and what we were there for. No, that we would see the way, the truth, and the life, and we would change our desires, and our desires and our will would be more like His will, and we would no longer seek the fleshly things of this world. So now we take this to Scripture, and there are so many Scriptures, folks, we can have about this debate. But today I'm only going to give you three that he brought up to me to try to prove to me that the Old Testament law is done away with and all we need to do is go to church and accept Yeshua and everything's going to be great and be fine. You know, three scriptures I'm going to give you, but there's so many more, and I encourage you to go to my website, www.TorahLifeMinistries.org, and check out all the videos I have on there. Okay, so the first scripture he gives me, I'm going to read it from the New Living Testament, is Colossians 2:14. Colossians 2:14 says, He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. How many of you out there have heard this idea of the Torah or the instructions or the law, as many people call it, the law being nailed to the cross? First of all, let me explain. The word law is a poor translation or a way to say guidelines and instructions of our Creator. It should be the word Torah, which is found in the first five books in the Bible. But regardless, he canceled the record of the charges against us, took it away by nailing it to the cross. So many Christians have told me, well, he nailed it to the cross. That's no longer for us today. Well, let's look at a better translation. The Hebraic Roots Bible says, and by his mandates, he canceled the legal contract of our sins, which existed against us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his torture stake. So we're going to break this down and look at this, because as I said, somebody had to die for our sins, for our crime, for the reason we were there to begin with. Somebody had to set us free. And the word in the Aramaic and the Greek actually says legal contract. So that's what it is. It's a legal contract. And it says, you know, he took this death penalty away from us. It's a legal contract that we owe Yahweh for the penalty of our sins that he took away from us. The death penalty that he took away for us. It says again, I'm going to remind you, somebody had to die for our crimes, for our sin. And in Proverbs 17:15 it says, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, even both of them are hateful to our wonderful Creator. And many translations, even both of them are an abomination, meaning there's no way he could set us free and not having somebody pay that penalty. The penalty is what they were being crucified for. That was the result, the consequence of their sinful actions, of their desires, of what they were doing. And what they did, there was a practice of this, that these sins were being written when they crucified people back then. What they did was, they were carrying a stake and they would walk through the streets with this beam across their arms, and it would have written on it the actual, the thing that the person was being crucified for, or their sin. That's what it would be on there for. So the sin was actually written on it. Now, it might be sin according to they believed back then, the Romans or somebody believed, but still, it was written on the beam. And then when they got over to the cross, that beam was attached and hung onto the top of the tree, and that was it. The penalty of what they were being crucified for. And to give an example of this, in John 19, 19 and 20, you see Yeshua, a wonderful Savior, the one you call Jesus. You know, it says in the scripture in John 19:19-20, and Pilate also wrote a title and put it on a cross beam. And having been written, it was Yeshua of Nazareth, the King of the Jewish people. Therefore, many of the Jewish people read this title because the place where Yeshua was crucified was near the city, and it had been written Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. That's just to confirm that the penalty was written on the beam of why the person was being crucified. He took, folks, our Messiah took our penalty for the crime we committed. It was a penalty that was nailed to the cross. It wasn't the law. It wasn't the guidelines and instructions that were done away with. It was the penalty of the result of that. He's taken a penalty for our sins and applying it, his sacrifice, to our penalty. He took our place. It's like somebody being on death row, and he comes, he opens the door, he sets you free, you go, and you say, well, they're going to notice somebody's missing, and he says, I will take your place. Up to that point, when that happened, our sins were completely paid for and covered by the blood of Yeshua Messiah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what it means by nailed to the cross. However, folks, this is not an excuse for us to continue to live in our present fleshly evil sins. His death for us, saying that the law or the Torah, the guidelines and instructions, is not an excuse to keep going and living against his guidelines and instructions with what sin is. His grace will not cover the practice of our willful sins from here on out. That's what the scripture says. So that's the first scripture this Christian of 40 years brought up to me and explained. And I'll get to the next one. And there's many, many I can talk about this from scripture, right from the scripture, and I encourage you to look it up for yourself. The next one we're going to look at, folks, is Ephesians 2:15. Ephesians 2:15, let's look at what the New Living Testament says. It says, "He did this by ending the system of the law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between the Jewish people and the Gentiles by creating in himself a new people from two groups." So he brings this up to me saying, we no longer need to keep the feast days and the guidelines and instructions of the Old Testament, because right here it's saying he made peace with the Jewish people and Gentiles, creating himself a new people. So it says, now we look at the Hebraic root scriptures, or a better translation, and it says, "In his flesh he has caused to cease the enmity due to the man-made laws and regulations, that he might in himself create the two into one new man, making peace." And we look at this, it comes down to the topic of a wonderful king, a Messiah, Yahshua, the one many people refer to as Jesus, versus the man-made laws found in scripture. And that is the problem. I'll give you an example of Sabbath. Yeshua, a wonderful creator, never said not to keep the Sabbath. He had an issue with the sages and the Pharisees, which were adding to scripture. As it says in the scripture, "Do not add or take away, but keep my commandments." Highlight and underline that word "keep." So he was explaining to them, you're adding to this, you're doing it the wrong way, this is the right way to do it. He wasn't saying don't do it. So you have Yahshua's ways, which are the Torah, the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, or as many Christians refer to as the Old Testament law, versus the man-made laws, which is the rabbinical Judaism laws that to this day are still made up and not in the scriptures. And Yeshua was rebuking them for adding to the word. And if he was here today, he would be rebuking the church for taking away from the word. Because it says, do not add or take away, but keep my guidelines and instructions. And then when it goes on to talk about he created a peace between the Jewish people and the Gentiles, you know, or anyone else, he was explaining that we are all one in him. That's the new thing. You know, even though they came to the Jewish people, he came to the Jewish people. No, now everyone had an opportunity to take part in this, becoming one new man. And the way I like to phrase it up, folks, is it doesn't matter where we came from. It matters where we're going, and it matters what we're doing. So that's that scripture in Ephesians 2:15, to understand he wasn't doing away with the system of the law, as so many translations and churches like to say. But what he was doing away with was the hostility between the Jewish people and the non-Jewish people because of the man-made laws of the rabbinical Judaism. And today that still goes on. But we were made new in him as we all come together to keep and desire to keep his guidelines and instructions. And then finally, the third scripture we'll talk about today, and again, there's so many more we could talk about on this topic, but the third one we're going to talk about today is Romans 7:6. Romans 7:6 in the New Living Testament says, "But now we have been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve our wonderful Creator, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in a new way of living in the Spirit." Now, to me, that sounds like this law that so many Christians will say is the Old Testament law, and it's a Jewish law, it's something we no longer need to follow. It sounds very much like what my Christian friend is saying. We no longer need to keep this. But when we look at a better translation again, I'm looking at the Hebraic Root Bible. Romans 7:6 says, "But now we have been set free from the penalty of the Torah, having died to that in which we were held, so as for us to serve in a newness of spirit and not the oldness of the letter." You see, there's no mentioning of law. We think about this again and we look at the scriptures we just looked at and we say this again. The New Living Testament, "But now we have been released from the law, for we did not do it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve our Creator, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but the new way of living in the Spirit." So that's what you might read in your scriptures, and that's what your church might teach. But when we look at the correct translation of this, Romans 7:6 in just an Hebraic Roots Bible, or you can look at many other correct translations, it says, "But now we have been set free from the penalty of the law, having died to that which we were held for, so that to serve in the newness of spirit, not the oldness of the letter." Free from the penalty of Torah, from the penalty, from the result of us living in sin. All we have to do, folks, is go back one scripture prior to that. Romans 7:5, it says, "For when we were in the flesh, the passions of sin were working in our member through the law for the bearing of the fruit unto death." Now, when it says, "when we were in the flesh," this was the Apostle Paul giving this message, calling out the saints in Rome who have already overcome that. So he says, when we were in the flesh, we were victims of the law, the man-made laws. We were victims to that. Our fleshly desires wanted us to live in sin. However, now we are new in Yeshua, who died for us. He took the penalty away for us, and he set us free. So we have another chance, another opportunity to do this the right way. Folks, if you were truly on death row, physically on a death row in a city waiting to be executed, and if you were set free, you would be thankful and you would live a new life. You wouldn't go back out there chancing that again where you might go back there again. We would also want to honor the one who took our place to let us go free. We'd want to honor him and follow him and his guidelines and instructions. And finally, I tell you this, the set-apart spirit would never lead us to live against the guidelines and instructions of our wonderful Creator. Under no circumstances would that ever happen. And then I go on to tell him, oh, and then there's one more thing that the churches are teaching here that doesn't necessarily go along with Scripture. And he said, what's that? And I said, this idea that our Creator loves everyone. All sinners, even though those who don't repent, everyone, no matter what, unconditionally he loves everyone. My Bible says, I told them, our Creator loves those who love him, but he hates those who love sin. So he doesn't hate sinners. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, we're not perfect. But if we desire to do perfect things according to the guidelines and instruction of our Creator, that's where grace comes in. But if we desire to make a practice of living in sin, as it says in the scriptures, he hates all workers of iniquity. So it's the practice that makes purpose. Are you practicing to follow his guidelines and instructions, also called righteousness, or do you practice to live in sin? Now another problem is the word hate. We hear the word hate and we think of it on our terms. But the real definition in the ancient Hebrew of the word hate is not take care of. So when we look at that, our Creator takes care of those who love him and desire to live righteously. But those that make a practice of living in sin and have no desire to live righteously, he does not take care of them. He says to me, well, what I'm suggesting is not Christianity. That was his final outcome after everything I told him. He goes, well, your suggestion is not Christianity. And my reply to him, finally, we agree on something. Finally, we agree that it's not Christianity. I am here to tell you today, folks, that there is a difference between Christianity today and the Christianity or the following of the way of Yeshua Messiah. You could just go back to the first and second century Christians to see how they did it, how they desired to understand and keep the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, until Constantine came and the Catholic Church came and they changed that around and they started executing people for following the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, where they changed the Sabbath and they changed the day to Sunday instead of Sabbath, Saturday, where they told people you start following this Christmas and this Easter and all these other pagan days, and if you follow the days of Scripture, the days that the Bible says that we should follow, you're going to be executed. You see, Constantine was the beginning of the end of this. And we cannot argue with history if his history is history. And what is going on today in the church is not scriptural. It's not biblical. And we need to wake up. It says in Hosea, my people destroyed for lack of knowledge. We all have knowledge, folks. We have worldly knowledge. What that scripture means is, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge of the Torah, the guidelines and instructions of my Creator. You have a choice, folks. Who do you want to follow? Do you want to follow the Bible, our Creator's words, or do you want to follow so-called Christianity, your pastor? I tell you this, you could look it up and you'll find they are not the same. Let me explain to you briefly what happened to myself. I did not grow up a believer. I wasn't a believer. And then finally, I was led to read the Gospel of John. I accepted Yeshua as Messiah. And I was confused at first. I said, I'm Jewish. How could I believe in Yeshua, the one they call Jesus? And then I kept reading and I found that he was Jewish also. And I said, this is going to be easy. I'm just going to follow what he said to do. So I read all the red words and the scriptures of what Yeshua said to do. And then I went to my first church and they were teaching something opposite of that. I said, this is crazy. And then things kept happening in other churches. I said, I'm going to have to make a choice. Do I want to follow what man says or what our Creator says? And I decided to follow what our Creator says. I'm going to ask you, folks, what does it mean when you say you are a Christian or a follower of the way? You say because you believe in Yeshua, the one they call Jesus? Did you ever ask yourself what that means? Who is Yeshua to you? You say our Savior who died for our sins. You say he died for your sins. Do you think he died for your unrighteousness and for you to continue to live in sin? He said in his word, go and sin no more. There's willful sin and unwillful sin. And if we sin, but we don't desire to sin, his grace will cover us. But there's no sacrifice for willful sins, as it says in Hebrews 10:26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for our sins. I just gave you the truth, folks. And it says in James 4:17, to no good and not do it to him it is sin. Ask yourself this question, folks. Do you really think you live your life according to the instructions of our wonderful Creator? Read your scriptures and test everything. And figure that one out for yourself. Go to my website, TorahLifeMinistries.org. And I'm here to help you figure that out. And help you come up with the answers. Test everything, pray about it, but stop taking the word of your pastor if what he's saying is going against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. It is not done away with. It was never meant to be done away with. We need to live right according to the scriptures. That's what righteousness is. And if the set apart spirit is guiding you to live righteously, which you confirm in the word, hallelujah. But the set-apart spirit will never, ever, ever tell you to live against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. So you have a choice, as it says in the scriptures. Today I give before you life and death. Choose life so you may live. Thank you and shalom.
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah
Life Ministries. Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Start Smart Learning Center offers a fun, nurturing, faith-based space for your child to grow and succeed. We are now enrolling children ages 1 to 5 years old. Visit our website at startsmartlc.org or call us at 772-281-4121 to give your child the head start they deserve.